We are here in Kerry Airport in the brand new Arrivals Hall at Kerry Airport as well to talk about the opening of it. The Taoiseach Micheál Martin will be here a little bit later on the programme, just after 10. We'll be talking to him. He's carrying out the official opening duties of it this morning. But it's been a project that has been €5 million to put together. It is a remarkable building and finished to a very high standard. I've got two people in studio with me here to talk about this project. We have, of course, Kathleen O'Regan-Shepherd, who's on the board of Kerry Airport, the acting chairperson of Kerry Airport's board. And we have Tim Murphy, who is project manager on this project. Griffin Butters Contracting Limited were the contractors, but lots of specialist contractors brought in relation to that. Tim Murphy is with Tim Murphy and Partners Construction Consultants. Good morning to both of you, and thanks so much for joining us. Kathleen, first of all, this is a great day for Kerry Airport in the history of the airport, its expansion and what it represents and the economic driver it is for the area.
It is an extraordinary story, Gerry. And if I were to start at the beginning, it would take me all day. It is so extraordinary. I'll just give one quick snippet from the book Donal Hickey wrote on the 50th anniversary. It is called Kerry in the Jet Age. It was in 1969 when the former Minister for Transport, Brian Lennon Sr., officially opened the airport. And at that time, and for a few years later, most of the revenue was generated from the bar and from hay sales. Would you believe it? And there, that was the funds that kept the airport going. Mm. So there were great visionaries. And one, and government, of course, I think it started then. And ever since then, the government has been wonderful to Kerry Airport. Kerry Airport has worked in partnership with government and with the local agencies right through. The biggest breakthrough, I'd say, came in the 80s when the then chairman was Brian Cunningham. And himself and a few members of the board met Charlie Hoy as he was coming through the airport. And they gave him an outline of the vision and the plans for the future and the runways and so on. Different industrialists had come at the time. Tourism was expanding. People's children were going abroad, a huge immigration.
Yeah.
And in due course, they met the Taoiseach. Tom Collins was the then county manager, who was also an engineer.
Yeah.
And he met and explained to Charlie Hawley. There was no bureaucratic monstrosities in those days.
No.
And the following day, Brian Cunningham, the chairman, got a call. Giving him the good news, he couldn't believe it. He said, how much do you want? He told him, I think it was at that time, almost 2 million. So he said, you know, the paperwork, the plans, everything has to follow in detail. But he said, if you get Dennis Brosnan on board to help you fundraise, because at that stage he'd experience of Dennis Brosnan and his management team bringing Kerry Airport on the global stage. Brian, of course, thought this wouldn't be possible. He got into his own car in Tralee that evening when he found out that Dennis Brosnan was on his way back from a meeting in Brussels to an agricultural conference in Europe. Got him. And when he explained and told him what Charlie Hawley had said, Dennis came on board. So from then on, the shareholding, the partnership. So since then, we've been blessed with the leadership on the board of ex-execs and chairman of Kerry Group, just to name Dennis, of course, Liam Chute, and then another Dennis Cregan. And they have really sown the seed of altruism. No board member gets paid. And we've great stalwarts like the John O'Sullivan, Matt Horgan, Tomás Garvey on the board for years. And our wonderful staff. There'd be no Kerry Airport without our wonderful staff, of course.
Yeah.
And the community buying in. The various shareholders who don't get a dividend. And this was all done for in an altruistic way.
Everyone can see the benefit
for
and the need for it for the company.
And it has seen very turbulent times, and we are nowhere faced with turbulent times again. So it is, pardon the pun, a wing and a prayer all the time, but we are so delighted to have Taoiseach here today, simply because, you know, it's not just in paper, but to come here in person is it testifies the government's commitment to regional airports and particularly to Kerry Airport.
Yeah, which is very important. Okay, Tim, good morning to you. Listen, congratulations. It's a brilliant job. Tell me about your involvement. Tell me how, I suppose, I know the contractor was appointed in August 2024, works commenced September of 2024 and delivered and finished, I think, by March and opened for passengers by March of this year. This is the official opening today, but it was a very challenging works programme because you were doing work in the middle of an active daily airport with Transport Links.
Yeah, absolutely, Jerry. I suppose it all began in early 2024, really, when the design team was procured. And then it followed on from there. I came on board with Kerry Airport in the middle of last year as the employer's representative project manager. So my role, I suppose, extended to liaising with the design team, putting the tender documents together, going to tender and appointing the contractor. And that all happened, as you say, in August, September last year. I think your point is very valid in relation to it being an active airport. Again, security requirements are the same in Kerry Airport as they are in Dublin or London. So that was quite a challenging, I suppose, part of the project for the contractor and all the people involved. But again, it was just a sense of collegiality, I suppose, Jerry, really, with everyone involved, from Kathleen and the board down to the staff, like she said, the design team and the contractors on the ground. So it was a phenomenal achievement to get it done. The arrivals hall was the first phase, which we're sitting in here at the moment. And that was the practical completion was achieved in that in March.
Yeah.
And then it followed on.
Phase two came afterwards.
Phase two was refurbishment of the existing departures area and an extension as well, which with a new gate being added. So it has really transformed the airport. And like from a construction perspective, we were very lucky with everyone involved. They really put the shoulder to the wheel and delivered in spades.
Yeah, and you had to work with the Irish Aviation Authority. All the protocols had to be followed. Flights had to come in and go out, buses and taxis, name it.
Absolutely, Jerry. And like there would have been quite a lot of liaison with Tom O'Driscoll here in the airport, the head of security, in terms of phasing and timing of lifts, etc. You know, for example, there was certain work couldn't be carried out when there was a flight coming in or leaving. So there was a lot of detail and programming around that. So so there was quite intricate. But again, we were very lucky with the team that was involved to see what we have here today.
Yeah, how challenging is it from the point of view of anything being built these days? The cost of building, the inflationary aspect of it, all of that had to be dealt with as well, I'd imagine.
Yeah, that's probably the biggest challenge in construction at the moment, Jerry, nationally and indeed worldwide. It's we're in an inflationary period at this point in time, albeit it's kind of relaxed a little bit. But we entered into a fixed price contract with the main contractor. Costs were managed tightly from the start all the way through, and thankfully it was delivered on time and within budget. And to be fair, as you can see here, to a very high quality.
Yeah, exceptional quality. Kathleen, what does this mean for the future of the airport, to your mind? And like the expansion of it, I know the airport's always bidding to try and get new flights in to increase the capacity. I know there's a big private jet market as well as flies in here. But having an expanded departures hall and a new arrival hall, that's very important for the future.
There is no doubt, of course. If we are, you know, we are trying continuously. Over the last 6 years, despite all our efforts, we failed to really get any new routes, except, you know, very short-term, small carriers from France. But we have, thanks again to the dedicated staff we have, Tim mentioned Tom O'Driscoll and security, our executive team led by Basil. Basil Sheeran. We have Tom O'Driscoll and security and his team. We've Howard Jones in the Sierra Air Traffic Controller and his team. Their dedication and commitment and observance of, as Tim said, all the various aviation legislation, safety, security, health and so on, is a testament to any new carrier coming in. that this is a serious airport now. We have a beautiful new state-of-the-art arrivals hall, and the staff are lovely, always welcoming people with a smile. So we will deliver if we get economically sustainable routes. By sustainable, I mean a bit like our routes from Germany and England, if we can get them year-round or even from March until October. But we're continuously driven to try and secure new routes.
Yeah. And look, at those links to the UK are very important. I know a lot of people would commute effectively over and back every weekend.
Oh, they are. Construction, not in my jury. You know, we can't ignore from Dublin. Okay, ideally we'd prefer earlier morning, later in the evening, so people could commute and go back and forth. But we are where we are. And, you know, we have to pay tribute to. People might say a lot about him, but he is the king of air transport, Ryanair. Michael O'Leary himself. And unfortunately, he's not able to be here with us today. But we do hope we'll have new routes from him in due course to our mutual benefit.
Yeah, that'll be something that'll be very important.
Indeed, Gerry, indeed.
Okay.
And of course, as you know, our chairman, Dennis Cregan.
Yes.
Dennis is unavoidably absent, sends his best wishes. And I said before, I mentioned the dedication to this airport. And he has led the board through many difficult times. So we send him our best wishes too.
Yeah. And his work is remarkable as well,
indeed,
and what he's done over the last number of years. Okay, well, listen, I want to thank both of you for taking time to talk to me in the programme this morning to set the scene here at the new arrivals hall at Kerry Airport. If you have a view on that, if you use the airport, if your thoughts about its expansion and development, we want to hear from you on the programme. We're live here in Kerry Airport with Kerry Today this morning because it is the official opening of the, I suppose, the new development works at the airport. The new arrivals hall where we're in this morning, the departures area has also been upgraded and expanded as well. And with me at our outside broadcast spot here in the departures hall is Howard Jones, Chief Operating Officer at Kerry Airport. Howard, good morning to you and thanks for joining me in the programme.
Good morning, Joey.
How important a day is this today for the airport from your point of view, having worked here and what the last 18 months have been like to get this up and running?
Well, Gerry, the last 18 months to 2 years have been an awful lot of work by the team here at the airport. The construction work, coordination with the aviation authorities, the regulators, the airlines themselves. It's all a team effort by everybody to make sure things go well. And to see it come to fruition today and have the official opening is fantastic. And as you say, the weather is great. The Ireland match last night, great. It's all good news.
Yeah.
You know, we'll enjoy the moment while we have it.
Yeah, so technically it was a challenge, and I know your staff played a big role in getting it over the line, I suppose.
Absolutely. John Mulhern, the manager at the time, led the team, and it is a team effort because it involves security, ramp, fire, fuel, customer services. They all have to integrate together in the planning for instigating change. We're highly regulated, as you mentioned earlier on.
Yeah.
And the implementation of these changes have to be coordinated by the entire team. So, you know, we've Evelyn Crowley inside in customer services. We've Mark Cronin over the fire services, Tom O'Driscoll on security. We've Kieran O'Mahony on the ramp operations, and Mark Cronin on fire and Dominic on fuel. So it's everybody is actively involved in it through the management to change. And I suppose over the last 18 months and last three, 4 years, we've implemented a huge change on our electrical fleet and electrification.
Yeah.
In the progressing towards decarbonisation.
Yeah.
And all that again is through the management team and the operations team at the airport.
Yeah. Things like this, right? Obviously, it improves services for people coming in and out of the airport, right? Does it make a difference with airlines? Do they see what you've achieved here in terms of attracting in business, making it a more permanent fixed proposition, or a good company to deal with, a good airport to deal with when it comes to them making decisions?
Well, I don't know how active it is in relation to making decisions, but I hope they look at the airport operations. And I know when we have Ryanair come down and audit us, and they look at the equipment we're using, and they look at the training we implement.
That's all
they're
important.
Impressed by it, and it's all important. The standard of operations is very important to any airline operator.
Yeah, yeah, and that's important as well from that point of view. And encouraging people, because like, you're competing with rail, you're competing with road, encouraging people to use the airport as well. Getting people to say, yeah, I'm going to go through there. I had a good experience there the last time, whether flying to Dublin, London, Frankfurt, or wherever else.
Well, you mentioned the staff and the part that they're the part they play in the operations, and I think they're the linchpin in it, because when you travel through, or anybody travels through the airport, they're your first point of contact or your last point of contact. And whilst they don't actively see the equipment and the facilities, they do see the people they deal with.
Yeah.
The interaction they have with the person is very, very important.
Yeah, yeah, and that makes a difference for them ultimately. Howard, where would you like to be in a couple of years' time? Where to from here for the airport?
Oh, good question, Jerry. I suppose, you know, the board will have to go back and look at where we are now and where they want to be in the future. We've fantastic facilities here now, and we just have to look at how we can actually build on that going forward.
Yeah.
So it's...
It's about attracting new flights, I know, but you also have a significant private jet business every year.
There has been a significant development in the private and executive transport at the airport over the last 6 years. I think the golfing industry has been a linchpin in that.
Yeah.
And, you know, with the Ryder Cup coming up now in a few years' time,
yeah.
That's going to be instrumental as well in developments going forward. And all these have to be looked at, and the opportunities that they present.
Yeah, and that's... goes back then to the role that the airport plays as a piece of our infrastructure. It's an economic driver for the region.
Absolutely. It's a Kerry Airport by itself. It's a transport hub, but I think it adds a lot more to the county than just an airport and a business. It feeds into access, infrastructure, business. I think at this point in time it's essential, and that has to be recognised.
Yeah, and this is a real staging point in the history of the airport. As that, really?
Absolutely. If you go back to 1989 when the 1200 metre runway was opened, and then 94 the 2000 metre runway, now we have a newly developed terminal building. And, you know, Jerry, maybe we'll be sitting down here in 5 years' time having a discussion about what the next stage is.
Okay, well, listen, Howard, thanks a million for talking to us. The program. Well done. Congratulations to you and all your staff and at helping deliver today as a reality. But thanks for talking to me in the programme this morning.
Thank you, Jerry.
There you go. Howard Jones there, Chief Operating Officer at Kerry Airport, talking about what it's been like, what this represents for the airport as an airport, as an economic driver for the area. If you have a view on it, as I said, get in touch with us in the programme. We're here with Kerry today, live from the opening of the newly developed Arrivals Hall and Departures Hall at Kerry Airport. And the man doing the opening is the Taoiseach, Micheál Martin. And Taoiseach, good morning to you and thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Jerry. Yeah.
Before we get to that in a moment, just want to talk about the unbearable, I suppose, tragedy, unspeakable tragedy that unfolded on our roads yesterday, on Saturday, the news coming through yesterday of the fatal Dundalk crash. What are your thoughts this morning?
My thoughts are one of devastation. Absolute sympathy with the families. It's a very terrible, terrible tragedy. And one can only think of the parents when they got the news last evening. Those young people went out to enjoy themselves. Never anticipating what was going to happen. Five young lives with everything to live for. It's a terrible, terrible trauma for the families, for their friends, for their immediate community. And all of us can, all of us share in that sense of trauma and devastation on the families. And it was a dark day yesterday because of that terrible tragedy. We have to be there now to try and support the community and support the families as best we can.
Yeah, there'll be an investigation as to find out what went on. A lot of people can jump to conclusions about what happened. Where do you think we are on road safety in generally, aside from what happened?
Well, I'm always very, in a situation in the immediate aftermath of an accident and a tragedy like this, I'm always slow to sort of comment as to how or why something like this happened, because there has to be a proper investigation and analysis of what transpired. And I don't know the circumstances surrounding what transpired.
A lot of good work has been done over the last 10, 15 years, 20 years. The numbers have come the right direction. Bit of an increase in the last year or two, but a lot of work has been done. So
We made great strides.
Don't lose that.
We made great strides, certainly from the 90s to 2000s on. I always pay tribute to Noel Dempsey for the work that he did. He took a lot of heat at the time in terms of measures that he brought in, but they did yield dividends, particularly with, and he worked with the late Gay Burden, actually, as head of the Road Safety Authority. But we can never be complacent in respect of road safety. We've made great strides over the decades. There was a lapse post-COVID. We've pulled it back a bit and we've improved. But again, the figures this year now are not good.
Yeah.
And so therefore we have to double down and really work very, very hard to protect all of us, and particularly to protect our young people.
Yeah, okay. Tisha, can I ask you about where we are here today? You're opening the Arrivals Hall, a key piece of infrastructure for Kerry, and one that's got a lot of government support over the last number of years.
It has, and I think, to be fair, I want to pay tribute to all involved in Kerry Airport, the entire team, all who work here, the leadership here, for the expansion of facilities and also of services. And passenger numbers will be up in 2025. There's been a very remarkable recovery post-COVID, when many people during COVID felt airports wouldn't recover for a long, long time. Mm. Here it has recovered very, very quickly. But it's a vital economic link, and connectivity is key for any region and for any county. And without question, given the tourism hotspot that Kerry is and Killarney is, this airport is important. In terms of inward investment in, and I've always been, I've watched over the years in different ministerial capacities, I've come to, you know, the university, technological university in Tralee, allied to that, the industry that comes with it, Lieber here in Killarney and so on. So that connectivity is important for an industrial perspective and in terms of bringing inward investment in. And then also for businesses here, manufacturers here, services here, it's important in terms of exports and getting out and getting people out to engage and win market share and all of that. I mentioned earlier that, you know, I travelled from Cork this morning. It's faster now to get,
yeah.
What I mean by that is the bypass.
Yeah.
The infrastructure makes it safer and makes it, enables a greater connectivity between Cork and Kerry and that economic corridor, which I think is important for both, which will benefit everybody. So connectivity matters, and the airport is about connectivity first and foremost, and it's great to see the ongoing expansion here. This is improving facilities in terms of arrival halls and departure halls and so on, and the passenger experience, that is important, as we know.
Yeah, okay. It's a piece of infrastructure that was delivered on time and on budget. Would that every piece of infrastructure in the country is delivered that way? Several aren't. The biggest challenge your government faces is the delivery of housing infrastructure and all of the allied pieces to that. Water, electricity, zoning, and getting through the planning system. You've unveiled a plan last week. You're getting criticised for abandoning targets. Have you abandoned the targets?
We put an overall target of 300,000, which will be very, very challenging. We believe the annual is a bit of a false narrative in the sense that just having a demarcation line at the end of December,
yeah,
sometimes the figures come in the first quarter of the following year. The commencements will be published and the completions will be published. So we'll all know
what's happening
on an annual basis what's happening. The more key issue, though, is we have to remove the roadblocks and the barriers to getting things done, and those roadblocks and barriers are significant. We did set up an infrastructural division within the Department of Public Expenditure to drive infrastructure, and also then an external task force led by Sean O'Driscoll, formerly of CEO of Glendimplex, to identify for government key measures we could take over the next number of weeks. Those measures will come to government in terms of how can we accelerate infrastructural development and get things done more quickly and efficiently for people. Because we need water, we need expansion of the energy grid, we need public transport and more roads. All of that will enable more house building. Our population is increasing significantly, has increased significantly. The pressures are enormous.
Are we running to stand still with that in mind?
At the moment.
You're building, you're developing, but the demands keep increasing. And are we not paying the price for a lack of investment in infrastructure maybe in the last 20 years?
We are. In terms of, there is a catch-up dimension to this infrastructure agenda. There are too many delays, though, in the planning process, it has to be said. Now, the new Commission on Planola has statutory timelines that it has to adhere to.
Are you going to get planning out of the courts?
Yes, we'll be taking measures to reduce the number of judicial reviews, and also to, in many ways, not to reward the taking of judicial reviews, which can be the case now in terms of legal costs and so forth. So there will be measures taken in respect of the legal costs surrounding the taking of judicial reviews, also local standby, and if people have a genuine skin in the game, to use that phrase, or they're local or they're involved. But the idea of people far away judicially reviewing a project that's of immense importance to a given community, it's not acceptable. And I've witnessed some of this now around the country, where people who are a long way away, but just for ideological reasons or their own agenda, are pursuing judicial reviews. That's wrong, I think. In society, we have to have some degree of consensus. We have to have balance. We have to have perspective. It can't be your way or the highway. And there are some people objecting and some people who are taking judicial reviews who seem to have a philosophy that it's my way or no way. And that's not satisfactory either. The planning frameworks are there. You go through your local authority, you go through Board Planála or Commission Planála now. And that's where planning, the vast bulk of planning, should be determined. The courts... It should not be the main forum or a significant forum for the determination of planning applications. And we are an outlier in that respect across Europe and in contrast to the United Kingdom.
Yeah. Are we on the infrastructure side of it, though, the other side that's needed to happen? Like, an example given over the weekend was Brian Caulfield, who is a professor at Trinity, talking about, he was in a meeting on Friday, and he said he was reminded how much work we need to do in Ireland to modernise and upgrading our existing rail network, for example.
Yeah.
3%, the lowest percentage across Europe of electrified rail. We're miles behind even the average of 57%.
Yeah, but we're moving on that now.
Will we ever catch up?
We'll get there. I mean, we've for example, in Kent Station in Cork, tremendous work has happened already on time and within budget. Next Generation EU funding was available for that in terms of the development of the commuter rail there. So Éireann Road Éireann is doing a good job in getting projects rolled out across the country. The base is low, yes. And that's historic from what happened in the 50s, 60s, when the railways were decommissioned, essentially. So the timelines have improved significantly. Belfast, Dublin, for example, the Dublin-Cork axis, like that is shortening all of the time in terms of the length of journey. The electrification will be happening. The National Development Plan has allocated very substantial monies to rail, but it'll take time, obviously, in terms of getting all that done.
Yeah. Can I ask you finally, just on the other side of it, not the political side of it, are you comfortable and confident as leader of Fianna Fáil?
Absolutely.
With all that's happened in the last couple of weeks?
Absolutely. I mean, we've had our challenges in the presidential election. It won't be the first difficult presidential election that people have had. But I'm focused on the issues facing the Irish people. I mean, I was elected 12 months ago in my capacity as leader of Fianna Fáil, and then 9 months ago as Taoiseach in Dáil Éireann. And our obligation is to the people who elected us to work on the issues that, that they're challenged by: housing, infrastructure, disability, and we've prioritised that, child poverty, rural development, the agriculture food production system. I'm in negotiations with Martin Aidan on the nitrates and directive, for example.
Yeah.
We have the financial framework for the next number of years in Europe. We've had to deal with tariffs, which affect everybody in terms of the United States, working to protect our pharmaceutical industry, protect our technology and medical devices industry. I've been flat out for the last 9 months, so I haven't allowed this in any shape or form divert me for why I was elected or to do the work that I'm obligated to do on behalf
of the political reality of it all. You have some members of your cabinet talking about one day I'd like to be leader of Fianna Fáil, but not quite yet. The narrative is kind of changing.
That's fine. I mean, people are entitled to do that, and that I've no issue with any of that. But I do think there's an onus on everybody within government and within political parties to focus on the bread and butter issues and focus on the issues that people elected them.
Yeah. With that in mind, are you conscious you're running out of time? I know it seems like a crazy question. You're 4 years left in
the
government. No, not you yourself, but ye as a government. Are ye running out to get these things done? Particularly, how radical is it going to be in the next 12 months? If you're to deliver in terms of the timeline of it, a house starts and a house finishes, and convince the electorate that you're getting it right around the time of the next election, are we going to see real radical, because that's what's been called for from the other side, radical change to the way things are done?
Well, the other side really aren't coming up with anything radical or anything that I can see tangible that would make a huge difference to anything.
The public want to see a radical change.
And if I could put it this way to you, when I was elected Taoiseach in 2020, we were doing about 20,000, we just had got to 20,000 houses a year. Mm. Well, now we're 33,000 a year. We need to get to 50,000 a year. That's the rough metric where we want to get to. And yes, there will be radical decisions in terms of trying to accelerate infrastructure through legislation, and particularly critical infrastructure in relation to water, energy, the essentials of life that people need.
Yeah.
People need water. We need wastewater treatment plants. We need to expand the grid. People need to connect in when we've new housing estates built and new industry built. And people need transport. The government has said that as our target. And in the last 9 months, by the way, on housing, we've taken a number of steps, from reform of the rental market sector to the VAT reduction in the budget, to the apartment standards and so on like that. The national framework plan to allow more zoning of land. So all of that are foundations to enable that radical transformation to happen in housing and infrastructure. And we're all out to try and do it. There are challenges. There are many directives. There are many legal
impediments
to getting things done more quickly. But we simply have to, for the benefits of the young people of this country.
Okay. Finally, would you like to be in America next summer watching the World Cup as Taoiseach?
I would love to be there. And look, in what was a day of sadness and tragedy yesterday, I think people's hearts were lifted by, I think, a very determined, gutsy and courageous performance by the Irish team. They just simply didn't give up. And Troy Parrott has had a remarkable week. But that last goal, I think, personified the character of the team, but that sense of not giving up. I mean, I look back on it, and Caoimhín Kelleher, who's from across the border there in Cork, you might know about that. But Caoimhín, he floated that ball in. He had a wonderful game. And there's Parrott, like, he's going to get that just touch to get the ball into the net. And I think that kind of summed up. They didn't give up. They just kept at the thing, you know.
Yeah.
And it yielded an incredible result, which we'll remember for a long time to come.
You certainly will. Taoiseach, thanks very much for taking
the time. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you.
Okay, that's Taoiseach Micheál Martin. If you have a view on what he had to say, give us your view, your thought on the battle for infrastructure, the battle to get things done on time, to solve the housing crisis and other issues. We want to hear from you on the show.